Sit back, turn the ship over to your Kovas, and relax. We're turning on flight assist. O7 Commanders, and welcome in. My name is Commander Mal for the win, and with me, as always, is Commander Psykit.
O7 Commanders.
If it's your first time listening, we are really glad you found us. Every week on the Flight Assist podcast, we talk to a different commander or organization. We find out a little about them, what they're up to in game, and we talk about the things we love about Elite Dangerous and its amazing community.
Before things get started, we just want to say thanks for being here, because this podcast would not be possible without the support of listeners like you.
Oh my gosh, Psykit. We've been trying to make this happen for so long.
We have. We actually have. It's been like a maybe a couple of months or so of trying to find the right date actually you, me, and Stephen Benedetti can actually sit down together and have a conversation. But to be fair, it's a pretty busy time for Frontier at the moment with all of their releases. And apparently they've got a big update to this little game called Elite Dangerous coming out relatively soon. And that they're pushing things out about especially with the release of Galnet coming back and with the new CG, which is currently active.
Yes.
I hope that everybody is doing their deliveries.
Please, it's a lot.
I know. I've already done a fair amount.
This is the first time that I've actually planned to like be ready for something, because we knew it was coming. Yes. We weren't exactly sure what it was going to be about, but I was planning to like, hey boss, I'm going to be a little bit late to work today because I need to be in game.
Oh my god, it's going to be so good. I can't wait to see all of these new stations appearing and all of that stuff, all of these stations getting upgraded.
I kind of hope it leads to us being, as players, being able to somehow initiate that process.
Hopefully.
Moving forward. Because it would be really nice to have, I mean, sure, it'd be cool to have Hutton be a legit full service station with large pads, but also no,
because then they'd actually have to start giving away free anacondas.
exactly.
We digress. This is not a reactionary stream. A reactionary podcast. We are just very happy and excited about what's coming in Elite.
Stephen is going to be on talking with us. He's been super, super busy, because not just with Odyssey, but also Frontier Foundry in getting all those games launched. That all falls under his kind of umbrella as well. Yeah. So he's been a busy guy.
He's been busy.
Yep. But today, for the next hour, he's all ours.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Of course.
I'm so excited. It's taken us a little while to fit this in with scheduling, but it's been quite nice to do sort of speak to different members of Frontier or people who have worked for Frontier and sort of space them out a little bit, because we don't want to run out of all of you, let's be honest. So for anyone who is currently completely not aware of anything at all to do with Elite, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, my name is Stephen Benedetti. I'm one of the community managers on Elite Dangerous. I've been here for just over a year now, and I do a lot of the kind of front-facing video things and planning and all the I don't want to say boring, but the exciting things behind the scenes. And that's what I do here at Frontier Developments.
Nice. What was it that originally kind of brought you to the world of Elite?
Well, it's quite interesting. I've actually got an honours degree in game design production management, so I've always been very aware of Elite, as obviously it's quite a groundbreaking game when it came out of its time. And I said, with my studying games, it was always one of those games that kind of appealed and interested me, especially from its development moving forward, its Kickstarter campaign, as a kind of product and a process. Always been fascinating, and I always wanted to be like Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, Mal, I'm sure you can. So it was the whole, you were very aware of it as you were doing your studies and things along those lines. And then it was that drew you in the direction of Frontier. Was it Elite specifically that was drawing you in that direction, or?
Yeah, well, originally, so my first job in the games industry, I was QA for Blazing Griffin, which is a multimedia company that does games, films, and post-production. And I worked in the QA team. We released the title, and then I moved into the marketing department, and I found that I really kind of enjoyed the marketing side, as some might call it, the kind of the evil side of the games industry. I quite enjoyed that, appealing to people, going to meet people and spreading the word in the events and stuff. And then towards the end of my time, I was doing maternity cover. I knew that I had to kind of look for something else. And because I'd been, being a boy from small Glasgow was quite a big feat to find the next big step. And yeah. As soon as I saw that Frontier were looking for a community manager and the possibility to work on a game such as Elite with such an amazing community and a very active and a game that is a massive online multiplayer, 1.1 scale to the galaxy, it was just something I couldn't pass up. So that's how I ended up kind of going for the role.
So was it you moving from Glasgow then down to Cambridge to go and take the job at Frontier? Is that right?
That was, yeah, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up getting, yeah. As soon as I think I got told, I knew it was coming because my maternity cover was coming up, and I knew it was coming, and the company pulled me aside. I think it was on the, Monday. It was either Monday or Tuesday, and they said, Stephen, we're going to have to let you go because that's the position and that's the maternity cover. We can't keep it on. I said, no, okay, I understand. And then the next day, I sent an email around saying, everybody, I'm moving to Cambridge. And they were like, why? And I was like, I got accepted the job as community manager at Frontier Developments. And
That's a big old move. My husband moved for, he works in software, but he moved from... he moved from Stirling to Plymouth, which, if you don't know the UK, it's like the two opposite ends of the UK, but for a software job as well, which was a lot for him. This was before we met, so I can imagine, yeah. it's a big old life change to do something like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm Glaswegian, mm-hmm. and one of the big things that it's always a joke about it is when you're with people from Scotland, it's always, how was your holiday? And it's responded to, it's brilliant. How? Because the beer was only like 50 pence. So to go from somewhere in Glasgow where I was getting a pint for about £2.80 and going down to Cambridge and it was about £5 or £6,
yep.
it was quite a culture shock.
Yeah. I can well imagine.
Also, a lot of people couldn't understand my accent at first because I've got, because I'm Glaswegian, we speak a lot of slang. Mm-hmm. No, it was a big move, but I ended up really kind of enjoying it. And just as I was getting to the swing of kind of being down there for good, COVID happened. So I'm actually back in Glasgow at this moment in time.
How have I missed that you're back in Scotland? Well, I'm sure it must have been mentioned. So that kind of leads me on to my next question about Frontier. It's really, really ramping up at the moment not only Elite stuff is all beginning to scale up in the movement onto Odyssey, but also all of the other things that you've got going on. How is working from home affecting that? How are you dealing with that?
What we are really lucky about is my team, especially people on like Elite Dangerous and then the other projects as well, is that we were the kind of first people to come out of the workplace and to work from home because we had laptops. We were able to do it, and we were, the company's been great and the team's been great to make sure that we still kind of have that connection. We still have like a morning meeting and teams call and try and have fun chats, and we try and do like a wee kind of play on our like Fridays. We try and still play a wee bit of like Dangerous together, so it's nice, it's really nice to still kind of have that, but it has been quite difficult. It definitely at the beginning took us time to like stream from home, to develop that stuff and to do those things. And that's one of the things that I've been really working on, is how we can stream from home the best way with different microphones, OBS setups. We're currently at Twitch, only doing Twitch just now. Is there a way we can go back into YouTube and sustain that? Do you know, it's all those kind of wee things.
Yeah, definitely. It's fair to say that you hadn't played Elite before you started playing, before you started working for Frontier. Would that be?
No, I actually did. Yes. So ages ago, when it was when it was first came brought out on PC, Elite Dangerous, I played it for a bit. But when I left, when I basically had it for a while in one of my flats. And then I left and I basically got rid of my PC and just had my PS4. And I never kind of went back to it until I started again. And then I'd got it with Horizons for the PS4. Mm-hmm. And it was like a whole different experience. As I said, I did play it on and off when I was a bit younger, but that was a long time ago, was it?
Yeah.
I forgot most of how to do it.
I mean, there's a lot to Elite. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah.
so it's fair to not know everything or not or like forget it when you come back to it. Holy heck.
I'm always shocked by when we talk to people who are like, yeah, I have, 5,000 hours in game and I'm still learning. And I'm like, oh no, I have so far to go.
I mean, I'm getting close to that now, I would say, getting to the, probably to the 4-5K, but around that sort of figure. And it is, I swear, I learn a new thing. If it's not every day, it's at least a couple of times a week. Someone's like, a psychic, you can do it this way. There's something else that you can do here. Or don't forget heat sinks, yeah. Like that.
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, it's something that you learned last week, but you forgot this week, and then you're like, I can do that.
Yeah, no, there definitely is a way to do that. So you're very, very, what was your very, very first time logging into Elite like, if you can remember?
Oh, do you know what? I just remember loading it up on my PC, and I just kind of got in, and I just remember being so angry, because this was before the onboarding experience and everything, mm-hmm. and I obviously did the thing going, I know games, I don't need a tutorial.
This isn't your usual game though, Stephen.
I know, and I just remember sitting there just like, how do I even take off? And I think I crashed. I remember rightly. Again, this was about 5 years ago. I think I just crashed straight into the thing, got blown up. And I walked away from it. And then I went back and I did the tutorials, and they took me, they helped me kind of get out. But that's my first memory, is just sheer anger.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not fitting in with any Scottish stereotypes at all right now, Stephen. Thanks for helping me out.
No, not at all.
That's what the Scotch is for, though.
Yeah, man. That's how it works. Exactly. That's how you deal with it.
Whiskey's good for the soul and for the anger.
Exactly. Yep.
That explains a lot. I suddenly understand so much more about why I love Scotch and whiskey so much. So when you're playing, Stephen, do you rely on just the information that's provided by the game itself, or do you use any third-party tools when you play?
So it depends. Normally what we try and do is we try and prepare the streams beforehand as much as possible. So I do use some third-party tools to help me plan and prep things. As well, and we really appreciate all the time and effort that the people who've put the third party tools together, because they are really useful and extremely helpful. So we do use them before, but we try, because of our setup at home and it's a bit different, we try and minimize the amount of things and windows we have open. So we try and plan the streams out as best as we can.
Yeah,
that
so
makes sense.
Which apps would you? Or which third-party tools do you lean towards when you're you're setting up a stream or you're planning on doing anything and you're getting the ships ready for the stream? What sort of what third-party tools are you leaning towards for that?
So I use things like Coriolis, obviously, if I'm trying to get like a specific build together or share a build with people. I use EDDB, which is an Elite Dangerous database, to go and kind of find things and stuff like that. Roguery. I use most of them basically. Whenever somebody goes, oh, this is a good one here, I'll always go check it out. You know, and they're great tools to use.
Definitely. Definitely. Nice. I think we spoke about this with Bruce as well, that how awesome it is that Frontier have embraced those third party tools as well, as opposed to I can think of other places that have maybe balked at the idea of people like using all of this data and creating their own third party things that people can use, rather than it being just like that frontier of like being, oh, can you not do that because we can have it in game or something along those lines, that it's actually been something that's been really embraced, and all of like these community things that have been created are even used by members of Frontier themselves. I just think that's really cool, and I wanted to put it out there.
and it's really interesting to remember that a lot of these things, like especially different game companies who don't allow that thing or do allow that thing, it sometimes depends like on the game, and it is like a kind of testament to Elite Dangerous in itself that it's so inclusive and it has that ability to be changed and adapted. But a lot of games, like obviously if it wasn't an MMO, if it was just a kind of one and done, you wouldn't really get that same feel from it if you did try and make changes to it. But that's what's really, I think, wonderful about the game itself as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it seems like you guys may get inspiration from the community when you see tools being used a lot. It seems to lead to changes in game. And I don't know if that's like a direct correlation or if that's just the way things appear, because as I have been, because I'm just coming up on like my 2-year anniversary of playing Elite. So I started playing right around the time that Distant Worlds 2 was about ready to kick off. And when there was this big resurgence in interest in exploration, right around that same time, you know, everybody's really talking about EDSM and they're talking about ED Discovery. And then we get really cool exploration tools added in game. So it seems like there's this really nice, and again, I don't know if it's intentional or if it's just like coding kismet, but as the community starts to focus on something, the tools, the level of tools increase, and then what you can do in game also kind of like it ups the bar a little bit too. And then we saw the same thing with, there's another really good example of recently of something that and now it just left my brain because it's still early here and I need more coffee. So do you all draw, do you know, does Frontier draw inspiration from the tools they see the community creating?
I mean, obviously, one of my job is to deal and give feedback from the community to the development team and be that kind of bridge and try and share as much information as we can and what we see. But the development team are really good at doing that themselves. Like a lot of them do scour the forums and kind of go through things. And what's kind of interesting is that, like you said, I think it is a bit of both. I think it's a bit more, I mean, as game developers, we need to try and get things in advance as much as we can. So say, for instance, one thing gets created in life, and like somebody just makes an app and it does something, then we bring out an app like a week or two after or a month after. Sometimes it is just coincidence, but a lot of the time it is also the fact that we see players, you know, wanting a certain thing or discussing a certain thing or concerned with it. I think it's definitely something that does get brought into that loop of what do we do next? How do we move forward? What can we bring moving forward? But it's one of those things that sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Oh, I remembered it. It's the trade thing. Getting more trade data available in game.
Yes.
That was the other example I was thinking of is that's something that I know players have been looking for a while, and then seeing that start to grow as an in-game product. So that's one less time I have to tab out, which means it's one less time I'm going to boop into something.
Boop into something.
I mean, that's a fair point.
That's basically what it is. That's alt tab is just basically the boop key for Elite Dangerous.
Speaking of inclusivity and all along those lines, there's a whole host of other control schemes that you can use when playing Elite Dangerous. What is your preferred method of playing? Is it controller, HOTAS?
It's definitely the HOTAS. The Thrustmaster is the one for me. Like I play at home. I play with my Xbox controller.
Right.
But I miss the HOTAS. I do miss the HOTAS. When we were back in the office, I used to play with it. Use it all the time.
That's interesting. I kind of figured you would be like you would be all about the controller for some reason. That's interesting.
I know, it's because most of the time you see me with the controller, and I'm a console gamer. But as soon as, like, especially if anyone has not tried using a HOTAS or a joystick of any on Elite Dangerous, you need to do it because it makes the movement so much more realistic and the feel far more, you know.
Yes.
More, that's realistic again, but it's just such a good kind of way in.
It's so cool. As someone who was just I played my first sort of 3 years or so, I played with a controller and mouse and keyboard for all of the other extra bits, but I played with a controller for the whole of the first 3 years of playing, and then eventually got my HOTAS. So I can confirm that if you can afford to buy a HOTAS, give it a go. If you don't enjoy it, I'm really sorry, but it is for me, it's completely changed it's refreshed the game for me, I would say would be a better way of describing it. It's just so much more immersive and realistic and wonderful, and I love it.
I agree. So Stephen, what would you say as a commander, what are you best at? What is your forte in game?
Screwing up.
That's valid.
Well, the thing is, for me, I wouldn't say that I enjoy combat the most. Combat's probably my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing that I'm most adept at. But again, it's like you said, it's still something that I learn about all the time and try different things, especially when it comes into like engineering. It's just such a game that touches on so many levels for each other on
right.
the different aspects of it. So I try my best to understand most things and try to be good at most things, but either running away or or screwing up is my talent.
I have to say I could appreciate that. For the longest time, the thing I was best at in game was unlocking the rebuy screen. Like consistently good at that. And as a matter of fact, yesterday, I think yesterday's stream, I died more than I have in probably months in game, trying to get back into Thargoid combat. It was not good.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things. It's like when we do streams, sometimes we screw up or mess up and people are like, you're rubbish at the game. But 10 minutes ago, you did it in your own time and it was fine. Yeah, but it was that. And then also on Monday's stream when I was with Arthur, I was in the Beluga and he's like, oh, the Beluga's really hard to get out the mail slot and, you know, pick up the people and land on. And I did it. Well, I blew it up the first time, but I did it the second time. So I did it, you know.
Yep.
You did it even with the whole of the community shouting heat sinks at you, which I think is a really, really good thing.
Exactly. And I just want to point out, I did not set up that stream that time, so that's why I didn't have a heat sinks.
I believe you, Stephen. Thousands wouldn't, but I believe you. Yep.
I'm glad someone does.
I only say that because everyone was shouting at Bruce on Thursday because of heat sinks as well, and I'm assuming it's the same ship.
Yep, same ship.
Let's throw Bruce under that bus right now when he can't defend himself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if he's not here, I'm throwing him under the bus. 100%.
Is there any part of Elite Dangerous? You're really lucky that you're in this unique position where you can go and meet lots of different commanders and they can show you lots and lots of different parts of the game. Is there any area that you haven't participated in maybe as much that you would like to have another go at or have a go at?
Well, I think I've definitely tried to do as much as I can, along with the different groups. Mm-hmm. I still think I've got a lot to learn with mining. I'd probably do that a lot better, but I mean, mining's probably one of those ones that I enjoyed doing at the one time we all went together and I did it off screen. I've not done a lot of mining on screen.
Right.
But I would enjoy that if I was able to do it properly and get like a lot of good things. And I think that's probably that'll be it then.
Maybe. Yeah. It's really cathartic as well, mining. There's something really relaxing and chill about it, especially if you're doing it in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Getting together and just chilling out and having a bit of mine, making a bit of extra cash is really, really nice.
Yeah, those credits are it's nice to see them rolling in at the rate they do when you have a hold full of low temp diamonds or painite. It's a good feeling to pull up to the station and be like, I really don't have a whole lot of money. And then hit the sell button. You see like 292 million. You're like, oh, I feel better about myself. my self-worth as a commander has increased somewhat.
Just because I was shooting at a wee rock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's your fondest memory or like the most amazing thing that's happened to you in Elite?
That's difficult because I've done a lot with, I've been on a lot of streams and a lot of, memorable stuff comes on. Like for instance, when I blew up, Little Willy, which as you all know, the game randomly generates character names, and Will, who was the community manager, before Arthur, he had this puppet called Little Willy when we did the a real boy called Little Willy who did the stream with Jack Little. Mm-hmm. And when I was on stream, I was doing just a bounty mission, and it was Little Willy who I had to blow up. So I blew him up in game, and it was just probably one of those things that real life sunk itself into that. But it's been many fun moments for me, like getting my first shot in the man bar, or doing my first buckyball, and a lot of fun things. Although I think the hard thing is that I really love racing, but I always lose at them on live streams.
But racing's so fun.
I can appreciate that. I like speed bowling, buckyball challenges, SRV races. Those are like I wish it was possible to earn elite in racing. Like if racing should be a legit profession in the game, because that would be probably all I do.
Did you see, I think it was just this week that Exegius, he did all like the results of his race to Colonia.
Yes, I was on that.
Wait, did you see that somebody made it like in 1 hour and 16 minutes to Colonia?
Yeah, it was one hour and 19 minutes fully engineered.
Heck?
Yeah.
What the heck?
And if you check it
above 2 hours, less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
If you check it out, like the one, I think it was Raven or Son or something like that. I actually think I've got it here. But they actually explain it. Alec Turner got in contact and explained how that happened. It was Ravenoff, which did it in 1 hour and 14 minutes and 44 seconds.
That's a ridiculous time. You can get to Colonia, that's 22,000 light years. That is mad.
That's insane. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And even hearing how they done it was even more unbelievable, was the planning, the preparation, the tricks, all the different parts. That was just phenomenal.
The buckyballers are really, really fastidious, almost as much in their planning as they are in the execution. On that Discord, like when this has all been going on the Buckyball Discord, when they've all been talking about it, it's been like, this is this optimum route that I have found, and I'm going to plug this into my plotter and make sure that copies across. And I'm just like, oh, that's too much for me. I'm never going to get a top time, but I'm going to give it a go.
I just kind of point my ship in the general direction and hit FSD and like that's it.
Even the neutron boost, I can't do it. I'm so bad at it. I think I blew up one time trying to do it, and I'm so scared to try it again.
That's practice makes perfect, Susan. Yep. You'll get it eventually. What is it that you think that keeps people logging back in to the game?
That's a good question. I think it is the genuine love of space, the the kind of feeling that it gives you, and also the community. I think it's a big part of people are still really active and really involved with each other and can be very welcoming and helpful. I think that's a very important part to it. But also, I mean, like, if you think a lot of these people who a lot of people play Elite Dangerous still play a lot of space games, but I mean, I do the same. I've been playing Outer Worlds recently, but still, when you go back to Elite, it's just a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Very true. Let's say for the question's sake, let's say time travel exists. If you could go back to the very first day and give that you ever played Elite and give Angry Steven one piece of advice, what would it be?
Play a different game. No, joking. It would be be patient, watch a couple of tutorials, and have a broader patience for what you're about to do. So in general the fact that when, like I said, when you play one part of the game, you also play, like if you say, I want to be really good at combat, when you get to a point in combat, you then need to try and do different things. And when you try and then do different things, you end up having other parts you need to do. Like you need to travel to unlock engineers, for instance, or to get to the next ship or to do this. There's more than one way, but there's more than one path to do it.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, going forwards in time, when it comes to sort of Odyssey and everything that is coming out, what is the general feeling around you guys at Frontier now that you've started revealing stuff? What's the general atmosphere like?
A bit of panic. it's obviously the panic is that we know how much this means to everybody and we want to do it right. So there's still that kind of best way to do it. It's excitement. Panic's the wrong word. It's excitement. We are all really keen to show what we've been doing and what we're trying to do for the game moving forward. And we really can't wait, but it's also still got a lot of work to do, still got a long way to go. And I always feel quite guilty because some people message me and I don't get back to them for a couple of days and then I try my best, but we were just so busy trying to do it all, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Of all the stuff you've been able to reveal so far, what's the thing you have been most excited to reveal
so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it has to just be the Odyssey announcement.
Just Odyssey
that initial
first bam. This is what we've been trying to do. This is what we've been working on.
Yeah,
I loved the fact that that was so cool to watch from like this side, you know, as a player. It was so cool to see, like, when the day that the trailer dropped, the first reaction was everyone was like, this must be a mistake. This can't possibly be right. It wasn't so much like, oh, finally, we've got news about the upcoming episode. The first reaction was, this must be an error. This can't possibly be correct.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, it is, but it is.
Right.
We're going to get Odyssey. Oh, this is great. That was really fun to watch.
Amazing. And I think like everything since then has been pretty mad as well. Single time we get a little bit of new information, it's just, for me, it's completely I wouldn't say necessarily surpassed my expectations, but it's kind of changed them slightly. Like, I absolutely bloody adore that the first thing in the dev diary that came out, the first dev diary that came out that was talking about stuff, was talking about exploration as opposed to combat. And that for me, that made me so happy, because I love a first person shooter. I really do. That's where my background is. I worried, there was that little niggling worry right at the back of my head, that first person, all of the first person walking around stuff was going to be focused on just like the shooty shooty kind of stuff. And I'm so glad that there was that the first dev diary, like, just address that for me entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's important that obviously combat will be an important part of the game because it is as even now. But it's one of those things that we never said that we were making Elite Dangerous Call of Duty. We're not making a game that's focused on combat. You can still go explore. You can, you know, that's an important part to it, and we've shown that. And obviously we'll have a lot more to kind of share as time goes on, but obviously combat is an important part, and it still will be, but so is everything else.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So when Elite Dangerous Battle Royale mode comes out, we'll be the first to know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You heard it here first, right?
You heard it here first.
Is there anything that you play when you're not playing Elite? What games are you into?
So like I said, recently I've been playing Outer Worlds. Mm-hmm. I actually recently purchased the F1 2020 game. I'm looking forward to, I've been playing some of that, still terrible at it, but I'm looking forward to that. And then I was playing The Division with my friend. Me and my friend went back, played the original Gears of War. We've started those again just for some fun. So quite a plethora of a variety.
Mm, absolutely. And I mean, what with the world in the current state that it's in, you've got a lot more time for video games. Well, I certainly do.
Yeah.
That's the difficult
all that time
part.
That used to be spent commuting, you can now spend playing a few extra games.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's it for the standard questions, but we do have a lightning round that we throw in towards the end. So these are all Elite Dangerous focused questions, and the answer is to try and answer these with as quickly as possible with kind of like the first thing that pops into your head. First blush response, if you will. And I need to copy something from a document real quick because we have one other question.
Oh, yes, that got added. Haven't included that. Okay, cool.
So, okay, it's in there now.
I can see it.
Okay, Stephen, if you're ready.
Yep, ready.
You can start. Okay, favorite ship?
Mamba.
Least favorite ship?
This is after thinking too hard. I don't have a least favorite ship. I love them all equally.
I think that counts. I think that's fair. Best ship in the game?
Crate Mark II.
Worst ship?
I'd say the Cobra Mark IV.
Okay. Favorite station?
Jameson Memorial.
Favorite system?
Assault.
True or false, there's a free Anaconda at Hutton Orbital.
100% true.
Engineered or vanilla modules in a ship?
Vanilla.
Alliance, Federation, Empire, or Independent?
Alliance.
Favorite power play leader?
Oh, no, that's a very difficult one. Because I don't do a lot of power play. Yeah. Who's your favorite?
That's not the question, Stephen. It's the lightning round.
But I don't do a lot of them.
Do I have to police this every bloody week?
Probably. Oh, it's so difficult to try and... Because like I said, I don't play...
Yeah.
I don't really do power play.
I'll allow it. Move on.
Yeah. I'm sitting there just going, I don't actually know their moral standing. Yeah. Like, this is the point. Like, I know who they are. I just don't know their moral standing. And I don't want to be like, well, Stephen just totally went a wee bit off the rails in that podcast.
Okay. If you run out of gas, do you call the fuel rats or do you suicide back to the station?
I suicide back to the station because their judgment is heavy.
If you have low hull, do you call the hull seals? Do you keep going and hope for the best or suicide back to the station?
Suicide back to the station. Their judgment is heavy.
True or false, there's a free fleet carrier at Beagle Point?
100% true.
Thargoids, friend or foe or undetermined?
Foe.
And finally, flight assist, on or off?
I wish off, but on.
Got it.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
that's it.
I'm going to have to police all of you all the time, every time.
Yeah.
It's such a difficult question.
The power play one is tough. Power play one is tough if you don't do a lot. I can tell you this. I think the vast majority of people have said Aisling Duvall.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain it has anything to do with her stance. I think it's all the hair.
I think it's the hair as well.
I didn't want to come off that way, though. I don't want to be like, oh, Stephen's similar. He's the hair guy. You know, he's going to follow in charge with somebody just because, you know, of the hair.
I think the only other power play leader that anyone has mentioned was Yuri Grom, because he's basically a player driven.
Yeah, I think
power play leader.
And I think someone has mentioned Lee Yong Rui as well.
That discount.
That's
all they wanted was the discount.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, like, they're all strong characters. I mean, like, Archon Delane is quite a fierce-looking Thor guy. You know, mm-hmm. he's got the hair, but I don't know if I'd follow him. That's the problem. No.
Yeah.
And both me and Mal have independent factions, so it's very much running. For my faction at least, it's very much pledge to who you want, I'm not going to judge kind of thing. And I think Mal's is very much the same as well. Yep. Like, you just pledge to whatever you want to benefit yourself individually. We are Swiss generally.
We are Swiss, man. I like that reference.
So I personally am very much the same, that I don't really know a lot, but all I know is that Aisling will give me those prismatics, and you can't argue with that.
Prismatic shield.
You know, but see, that's the problem, is that you're now being bought. You know, you've sold yourself under.
I know. I can't help it though. I just really like those shields.
I'd sell myself for a hot dog sometimes. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yep.
Is there anything?
Speaking of power play leaders, just out of curiosity, and this may be something that you don't know the answer to, do you know if the visuals of the power play leaders are based on real people? Because I have a feeling I recognize a lot of the power play leaders.
But you know what? Probably there will be some inspiration from somewhere, but not that I'm personally aware of. They were kind of brought about before my time. But it's a good question.
Mm.
Like, Aisling Duvall reminds me a lot of Mirena Baccarin. Zachary Hudson looks a lot like Robert Patrick. Like, I feel like there may be some, like, Archon Delane looks remarkably like Ron Perlman. So it's like, I'm wondering if they're like, they're little tips of the hat or nods from the design team in there to some of their favorites.
It's probably that. That is probably just, let's see what I can sneak in here. It just started to.
And I think, like, when you're designing sort of realistic art as well for those things, it's very much a case that you draw on characters or people that you want them to, like, look like, people who give out that kind of the energy that you want them to essentially effervesce in these official portraits, she says in inverted commas. Is there anything that we haven't covered today, Stephen, that you'd like to talk about at all?
No, it's been absolutely wonderful. I've really enjoyed the questions and the chat. I'm just really grateful that you've got me on.
Well, absolutely.
Of course.
Anytime. If anybody wants to see any more of you or get in touch with you or see you online anywhere, where's the easiest place to find you?
Yes, you can also hit me up on Twitter. I'm The Benedetti, and I'm The Benedetti also on Discord. But you can also message in at community@frontier.co.uk and I'll be able to see those messages there. Or just tune in on our Twitch streams, which is at Monday 11 a.m. UTC and 6 p.m. UTC on Monday and Thursday.
Perfect. Well, thank gotcha. You. Thank you so much. Cool. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us. It's been an absolute hoot and pleasure. As yeah,
it's
I
been
fully
great getting
it
to talk to you, Stephen.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant always coming on with you guys. It's a lot of fun. So I'm really, really enjoying myself.
Oh, that was so great. That was so awesome. I love getting to talk to the folks from Frontier.
Absolutely.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so nice to just like sit down and have what feels more like a candid. It feels candid. I know even though we're not getting like a huge amount of new information or anything like that, but just to be able to have get a little bit more background information about Stephen mm-hmm. as well, and yep. in the same way that we got the background information about Bruce, and hopefully yeah. more of you Frontier folk yes. in the future. But like to be able to get like just like a little. This is who this person is right at this current moment. Right. And I mean, it for me, it connects them more to the community than I thought yeah. it might necessarily possibly do, because yeah. We don't always have to talk shop. We can talk about other things
yep.
as well. Yeah. Although we didn't get any big scoops or anything. That's not what, I don't know if you've noticed, that's not what Flight Assist is about. It's about finding out about the commanders more than finding out about anything new that's coming. However, we did get that big scoop about the yeah. Elite Dangerous Battle Royale that's coming soon. I jest, yes. of course. Even though I personally think that would be bloody amazing.
We're going to be looking at for that in the patch notes for the next update.
Honestly, the next level of CQC is going to be Battle Royale, definitely.
I'd be down for that, absolutely.
I would absolutely be down for it, but it's not that. It's definitely not that. mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's also nice. I like hearing the perspective of Frontier employees as commanders yes. and not Frontier employees, because they do have access to stuff that we don't know about and that we don't see, and they know things that we don't know. But when it comes down to it, when they're at home, they sit in front of their computer and they play, they're just a commander like the rest of us. So it's always interesting to get their take on how they feel as a player and to hear that they like the same things and have the same struggles that we do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of my favorite things about getting to talk to, you know, people like Stephen and Bruce and
definitely
and them. That's all for this week. You can browse episodes to check out more information about the podcast at our website, flightassistpodcast.com. And you can stay up to date by following us on Twitter at flightassist_ED.
Remember, this podcast is all about commanders and communities, and that means you. We'd love to hear the questions you want us to ask our guests. And if you're an Elite Dangerous commander who wants to be a guest on the podcast, or if you'd like to nominate a commander to be our guest, we need to know that too. Send us your questions and information on Twitter by tagging flightassist_ED, by email to info@flightassistpodcast.com, via our Discord at discord.io/flightassistpodcast. Or by dropping us a line using the contact form on our website.
Until next week, this is Commander Mal for the win.
And Commander Psykit.
Handing the controls back to you. Flight Assist off.